Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
Yay! Turn to your neighbor and say, buckle your seatbelt, because it's about to get lit in here. Just kidding. That's if you're from the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. Yeah, I see that hand, Roy Uman. Yeah, Scarborough, represent. And I work with a lot of young people, so everybody's coming up with new vernacular, and I was like, I don't even know what that means, but I'll say it, as long as it's positive. So I'm really pumped to be here. I'm actually elated to be here this morning. Pastor Matt called me last week, and the conversation went something like this. Hey, Crystal. Hey, Pastor Matt. I have a favor to ask you, and you can just say yes. And I said, okay, what is it? And he said, would you preach on Sunday? And I said, woo! Both services? He said, yes. And so he said, we just believe in what you're doing, what you carry, testimony, exhortation, encouragement. So he said, just be you, let loose. And if you're okay with that, why don't you just go woo, woo? Because I've got so much fire in my heart this morning for Jesus. And what Pastor Ruth was saying, I am a raging enthusiast for all things kingdom, because kingdom is way bigger than small-mindedness. It's way bigger than religion. It's way bigger and way more real and way more awesome than some of the things we've encountered, or maybe personally I've encountered in my life. But the more I get closer to kingdom, the more I get closer to the King, I'm like, whoa, Lord, he's just filling me with love and joy and peace and patience sometimes and kindness occasionally, and I'm trying. But I love what the Bible says. I love the year that we've named this year, refreshing. And sort of my brain isn't catching up with my mouth here, but Psalm 84 says, blessed is the man or the woman who sets their heart on the pilgrimage. Blessed, you're blessed. You set your heart on the pilgrimage, you are blessed. Now, I'm used to preaching and I get feedback because that keeps me knowing that you're awake and I'm doing a good job. So blessed is the man or the woman who sets their life on the pilgrimage. There you go. Woo! Okay, change of gears. Praise the Lord. And so what happened was, is when Pastor Matt, when we were chatting, I said to him, I was saying to him that going out of 2016 into 2017 was really rough. Anybody? Anybody? Somebody? Ooh, I see those hands. Thank you. We got some honest people in the house. Yeah, there it is. I saw two hands. And I said, it felt like, the best way I could describe it is it felt like the rug was ripped from underneath my feet. I didn't know my up from my down, my left from my right. And every step I took, it just kind of led me, I started with discouragement, and then it was disappointment. And then before you know it, I was offended with 19 people. I wrote a list. 19 people. 19. Anybody else? Nobody else wants to admit that? I'll thank you. Honesty. We're getting places this morning. So it was beautiful because what happened was is I began a study on the spirit of offense and unforgiveness, and I found out that the spirit of offense actually works to take you out. They said, when Jesus said to his disciples, whoever says to the sycamine tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea, he wasn't necessarily talking about faith as much as he was talking about bitterness, unforgiveness, and offense. And the thing I learned about the sycamine tree is that the tree itself, didn't matter what environment it was in, it would push its roots down deep to try and get to that water supply. So it didn't matter if, you know, the rains or the wind or the extreme heat, it would force its roots down just like bitterness and offense. Tries to get its roots down, and it goes deep. The second thing I learned about the spirit of offense was that it produced a bitter fig. So the fig tree produces great figs. Anybody buy figs in the grocery store? Anybody? Yeah, me too. Thank you. So it wasn't that type of fig. It was a bitter fig. And so what the interpretation was is that bitterness, they said only poor people could buy that fig. Only the poor people could afford that bitter fig. And they couldn't eat it all at once because if they did, it was just too much. So they would nibble on it. I can't believe Pastor asked her to preach on Sunday morning. I'm a way better preacher than her. You just, I can't believe somebody cut me off in the parking lot. You just nibble, and you nibble, and you nibble until it goes right down deep, and then the roots go down deep. Okay, and do you see where I'm going here? So the third thing I learned about offense was that the sycamine tree, because it was so prevalent in the Middle East, it was actually used to make caskets. So what Jesus was trying to say to his disciples is that unforgiveness, bitterness, and offense is actually trying to bury you 6 feet under. It sucks the life out of you and gets you off course. But the hope of what Jesus was saying is it doesn't take a lot of faith to overcome. You just need to begin to speak to those things and kick them out of your life so that you can be on your way. Thank you. Wow. Yes, Jesus. So what I discovered is that I said, okay, God, in my bitterness, in my brokenness, in my offense, I'm not going to stop showing up. I'm not going to stop coming to church. I'm going to go to Ascend. And I remember Pastor Ruth asked me to pray, and I was all messed up. I said, no, I can't even pray, because God was working on my heart. And the one thing that he kept saying over and over and over is that as great as the harvest is, as great as all the things that you're doing is, this is more important, that your heart would become in rhythmic beat with the Lord. And so I brought a visual. Thank you, Fatine, for letting me borrow this for 6 months. And then she's like, is that mine? I'm like, yeah. And I was saying in the first service is that Dr. Chuchu, his daughter was working downtown. She actually works for the Heart and Stroke Foundation, and she was telling me that they're doing a study on cardiovascular, so patients who had suffered heart failure. And she said what's happening is they're doing native drum beats that regulates the heart and the mind together, and it's bringing healing because their hearts are getting on the right rhythmic beat. So when I was offended, my heartbeat sounded something like this. What's that story? Rang, bang, battle, bing, bang, gonna make my noise all day. Rang, bang, battle, bing, bang, gonna make my noise all day. And that's what the Lord is like, no, not that, not chaos, but rhythmic, steady, beating, heart connection, so that you can produce something for eternity. So good. Yes. Yes. So good. I said, I should write that down. I already did. So that we'll probably bring that out a little bit in a little bit. And we'll do that again just as an exercise, you know, we'll get you to, no? Okay, cool. No exercises. But so I said to Pastor Matt, so I ended up having this conversation. He called me one Sunday or one of the days, I forget which days, it all kind of blurs together. And he said, hey, Crystal, this is our pastor. Hey, Crystal. Hey, Pastor. He said, the Holy Spirit put you on my heart really heavy. Do you know why he would have done that? I don't know, Pastor Matt. What do you think it is? So I just, my life is an open book, and I just shared with him some of that hurt and offense. And you know what he said to me? This is what our pastor, so good. This is what he said to me. He said, Crystal, even the wounds of a friend bring healing. So he said, come and walk with me. He said, and even in your offense or your anger or your bitterness, I'll walk with you because I'm trying to get you to where you're supposed to go. And so today feels like redemption day because nobody else knew that I was ready to run. I was ready to quit. I was ready to leave the ministries that God has called me to because of that offense. And it was just pushing me under, 6 feet under, trying to bury me in a casket. When God kept saying, you know, we're in a war. We don't fight flesh and blood, and we're in this war, and the war is to become the men and women that God has called us to be, because the devil knows that when we become who God has called us to be, we become an unstoppable force on the earth, living an abundant life according to John 10:10, which means you surpass the average, you surpass being regular. Why did the disciples say, this is so crazy, why did people call the disciples? They said, you're like superheroes. And they said, no, not us, but the Spirit of God inside of us working and willing to do the good works of God. So that's us. So turn to your neighbor and say, that's me. And I just want to encourage you that in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed to the principalities and powers that be, which means, again, that's your life. Everybody on deck, not the who's who in the zoo, but the young people, the old people. And one of the things I have to say is that I love this church because when you walk in, you see people serving in the coffee shop. You see people serving in the ushering. You see people worshiping at the front. And everybody... This is good. You can write this down. Great things are not built on the talents of a few, but on the sacrifices of the many, which means all hands on deck. Somebody go, choo-choo. That's you. That's me. And, you know, don't, what does the Bible say? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But you set that example. You put your shoulders back and you set that example in how you speak and how you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. And when I was in grade, I forget, I was 14. What grade is that? 8, 9. I discovered this verse in the Bible that said, love what is good. Love what is good. Hate what is evil. Shun evil. Shun the non-believer. Just kidding. Don't shun the non-believer. Shun evil, and God will give you more joy than anyone else. And every time I chose to make steps to choose what was good and choose what was love and choose what was holy and pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, he filled me with more joy. More joy, more joy, until I actually felt like Kung Fu Panda with the big belly. Evil would try to attack me, and I'd go, boosh. You know? Skadoosh, thank you. What was it? Skadoosh. Everybody gadoosh, skadoosh. On three, on three, on three. 1, 2, 3. Skadoosh. That was after three? You're the drummer, so you know. Okay, you do it, you do it. 1, 2, 3. Oh, 1, 2, skadoosh. Okay. 1, 2, skadoosh. Ready? Put your shoulders back. You know, maybe just loosen up. Want you to do some exercise? Loosen up. It's okay. You can loosen up. This is church. Church should be the funnest place on the world. Why? Because God lives here. Because God lives in you. And when you come together, bring your supply, and I come and bring my supply, and Thomas brings his drum beat, everybody's just doing their thing, and God just gets bigger and bigger. So 1, 2, skadoosh. Ready? 1, 2, skadoosh. There you go. Give yourselves a round of applause. Okay. So I said, what do you do when the accuser of the brethren comes and wreaks havoc on your heart? What do you do when he messes with your brain, he messes with your mind, he messes with your heart, he says you don't have any supply to bring, nobody loves you here, nobody wants you here, what do you do? Skadoosh. Thanks, Pastor Ryan. I felt like Holy Spirit said, you stay the course. Blessed is the man or woman who sets their heart on the pilgrimage, the journey. For when they pass through the valley of weeping, they turn it into the spring. And the Lord said at the end of last year, he said, it's fine that you're filled, you know, with brokenness and you're working through your stuff. He said, you know, Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with bitterest grief. But he said, Jesus died to set you free. So the only way you can get free is if you keep moving. And if you stop moving, you'll get stuck. Spring, right? So I want to encourage you to keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Don't stop. Keep showing up. Wait patiently for the Lord. Listen to what he's saying. When he speaks, step out. Yonggi Chow, at the time, he had the biggest church in the entire world. He said, people used to ask him all the time, what is your success rate? Why are you so successful? Why do you have over 1 million people in your church? And he said this. Okay, get your pens out. He said this. This is what he said. He said, I pray, I hear, I do. He said, I pray, I hear, I do. But sometimes when we pray, if our hearts aren't clean and if they're cluttered, we can't hear. And then we don't do. Or what we do, we end up producing an Ishmael, not an Isaac. And we all know the problems that's been causing. And God loves all the nations. I'm telling you, I will insert this just as a backup. I taught 5 families in the Muslim community. And I'm telling you, we had kids giving their encounters with Jesus. I had conversations. Why? Because Jesus is real. Because he's alive, he's not dead. One of the mothers, she said to me, Cristel, she calls me Cristel. She's Arab. Christelle. Thank you, Linda. She said, when I was 14 years old, I was sick in my bed, and a man dressed in white who was so beautiful came into my room. And I asked him, who are you? And he said, I am the Messiah. And he put his hand on her head, and he said, you're going to be okay. So this woman is having an encounter with Jesus, and she said, Christelle, he made me feel so hopeful on the inside. And so she said she went to school the next day, told her Christian friend that she had an encounter with Jesus, and her Christian said, I'm a Christian, you're a Muslim, why is Jesus showing up to you? Because Jesus didn't die for the white man, he didn't die for Christians, he died for the globe. And that is the good news. Woo! Okay. Becky told me not to use my notes, so I'm not going to let it. I'm just going to glance every once in a while. But I just want to say, if you've been struggling with that offense, it's time to let it go. Let it go. Speak to it and say, get out of my life because you're slowing me down. And the Bible says, again, we are in a war to become the sons and daughters that God has created us to be. Why? Because through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is revealed to the principalities and the powers that be. That means when you're filled with God, and I'm going to prove it to you in a minute, when you're filled with God, you're filled with hope, you're filled with the power of God. That means every high and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God has to bow to you. Okay, deep breaths. Everybody take a deep breath. So unconventional this morning. This morning is so good. I do want to share with you a few things. So if you can put up the first slide. I noticed that the first slide, I think I might have botched it up a bit, but there is a cry. So we are in the greatest time period. We are in the greatest time period of the history of the church since the Reformation of Martin Luther, which was 500 years ago. Actually, it's the anniversary this year, 500 years when Martin Luther stamped the thesis on the door and said, it's not by works, it's by faith. Or grace, faith. Let's try that again. He said, it's not by works, it's by faith. Great. You can pick either or. So Fatine started the cry, or she didn't start the cry, but she picked up the banner of the cry a couple years ago, and they're doing a, to honor Canada's 150th anniversary as a nation, where we're going to gather together, and we're going to thank God for all that he's done, and then we're going to repent on behalf of the sins, just like the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will come, and I will heal their land. This isn't just a nice exercise. It's actually real, and I remember when I was working for Canada in prayer, I was tracking revival all over the country, and my job was to call people in remote places, and when I called a pastor in Iqaluit or Pangerton, which is even farther than Iqaluit, she said, Crystal, we had a prayer service over our land and the believers gathered and we're seeing flowers we've never seen before. She said, fish are coming back in ample supply. There is no global warming. Because believers gathered together to pray and seek his face, turn from his wicked way, you know, turn from our wicked ways and say, God, it's great that there's movements all over America and all over the world. There's the IHOP movement, Bethel movement, Jesus culture movement. But God, what about Canada? What about this land that you have purposed and reserved for your explosion of revival throughout the nations? God, what about this land? So I want to encourage you to go to thecrymovement.com to come and check out, come and be with us in Kingston on July 1st, Canada Day. Give that sacrifice to God and say, God, we're here and we want to see great things come out of our country. Okay, so come on. If you go to the next slide, I'm just kind of pre-warming up here. The next slide, you know, there's a bunch of different prophets that got together. Fatine was one of them, and they prayed about what 2017 would look like. Anybody wondering, curious, what is God up to in 2017? And these are a few of the things that they said. It's a year of breakthrough. Anybody need some breakthrough? You know, I loved what, you know, Becky and I were talking, and I said there's that scripture verse that says when the thief has been found, he has to return sevenfold what he stole. It is a year of breakthrough and restoration. Yeah, you can clap for that. Come on. And this is what... So I am mixing my faith with the year of breakthrough. God, things that I didn't see in 2016, things I want to see in 2017. It is a year of breakthrough. It is a year of restoration, where they said restoration of ministries, restoration of families, restoration of dreams and visions, restoration of your first love. Restoration of your first love. It is a year of evangelists arising. Hello, vocational. Woohoo, send me. I'll go. Send me. Legacy building. I was talking with a few multimillionaires who are looking to leave legacy on the earth. It's a year of strategic planning. He said, Crystal, I want to give you money, but where's your plan? I'm like, oh, yeah, I need a plan. I need a plan. I need a plan. I only need $1 million, Lord. It's a year of financial innovation, so not the normal ways, or not being satisfied with just getting a paycheck through the normal way, but innovative, creative, the people of God, prophesying, seeing dreams, having visions, seeing what God is doing and seeing it come into their lives, blessed to be a blessing. So if you're excited about 2017, why don't you just shout? Woo! Oh, man, because I'm just pumped. Okay, so we're going to jump into the message here. In Exodus chapter 3. That wasn't even the message yet. That was just me getting excited. All hands on deck. Woo woo! Come on. Exodus chapter 3, we see in Exodus chapter 3 that the Israelites were under oppression from the Egyptians. And they were weighted down with hard labor and tasks. So much to the point that they began to cry out to the Lord. Now, the interesting thing is that my Bible says that the Pharaoh noticed that they began to grow mightier and mightier, and they weren't even doing anything. They were just being the people of God, doing their daily activities. And Pharaoh took notice and said, that is not good. Let's put harsh labor on them, toil on them, so that they don't see who they are. Do you see what I see? So they don't see who they are and take over who we are. So they put labor on, and the Bible says that the weights of pressure and the burden became so great that they began to cry, God, we need you to break through. God, our families are suffering. God, Jehovah, Yahweh, we need you. Boop. It says God heard their cries. And he raised up a deliverer and he said, I'm coming, baby. I'm coming. I'm coming. So his eyes looked to and fro, searching for someone. And he said, there's Moses. I'll go to Moses. And we know the encounter, God, burning bush. Why isn't this burning? Burning. And they have this dialogue, which is Exodus 4, verse 10, which is where I'm going to kind of pick up the story. And I'm using my Jewish Hebrew Bible that my dad bought me for Christmas. It's Revealing Jewish Roots and Power. So again, buckle your seatbelt. Okay, go ahead, buckle your seatbelt. Okay, good. Exodus 4, verse 10. And Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, not yesterday or today or the day before since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who made man's mouths? Who made you, Moses? Who makes the mute or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Is it not I am the Lord? Now go, he said, now go. I am, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what to say. And he said, oh, Lord, please send by the hand of someone else. Don't ask me, Lord. I can't do it, Jesus. Don't ask me. I can't do it. And the next verse says that the anger of the Lord kindled against Moses. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. So the footnote in my Bible says that frequently the Lord is giving out assignments that are way beyond our ability because he wants to show us his ability, that nothing is impossible for him. So God shows up at your door. Hey, I want you to bake some cupcakes because there's a brothel over there. And this is actually a true story. Fatine was telling me this story. A girl named Daniel Strickland told us this story. She worked for the Salvation Army in Australia. She got a call from an elderly woman who said, people keep calling my house number, and I discovered that my house number is one digit off of the local brothel in town. So Danielle was like, okay, let's do something. Yeah, let's go and be the light in the darkness. So Danielle explained to this elderly lady, well, you pray, get a creative idea from God, and we'll back you. And so, you know, she came back and she said, I'm going to make cupcakes. And Danielle was like, I don't really know if that's going to go over well. So this elderly lady makes cupcakes. She knocks on the door of the brothel. The big guy, bouncer, opens the door. And, you know, she didn't really know what to do. So she just threw the tray in her face and said, I brought cupcakes! Well, when you know, the guy let her in, and she was able to learn the names of the different girls, and they were able to see a couple restoration moments happen for these women, because one lady said, okay, this is a big assignment, but I'll go, you make the way, and that nothing is impossible. Girls tell stories that lead to more stories that lead to more stories that eventually have a point, so we're getting there. I make no apologies. That's how the Lord made me. Okay, so if we keep going, so the anger of the Lord kindled against Moses. Moses said, you know what? Okay, I'll go. I'll go to Pharaoh. We know he goes to Pharaoh. The whole thing happens. Let my people go. So he goes, and the Bible says in Exodus 5:22 that things got worse. Hello, anybody? I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do this thing that he's asked me to do. Things get worse. Anybody? Anybody? I'm going to sow that seed. And then your car breaks down. I'm going to, you know, anybody? Okay, just checking. And so the footnote in Exodus 5 verse 22, I'll just read the scripture verse. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, you have done so much evil to this people, why did you send me? The footnote says that many of his assignments have painful aspects because he's teaching us how to trust him. Lord, when I step through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize, no, wrong one, hold on. When I walk through the valley of weeping, I make it a spring. You go from strength to strength. You keep going. So, God, it hurts, but you're just teaching me to trust you. Okay, God, here I go. Okay, here we go, God. I'm gonna trust you, because Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your brain. Trust in the Lord with all your brain. Trust in the Lord with all your, come on, with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understandings, but in all your ways. And what's he gonna do? Very good. You passed. Sword drill. Go. So what happens is God has to remind Moses in Exodus 6, verse 6. He says, therefore, say to the children of Israel. He's like, okay, I know it's tough, Moses. I know it's bigger than your ability, but I want to remind you of the covenant that I'm making. He said, I am the Lord. I will bring you out. He said, this is the reminder. I will bring you out of that bondage. I will rescue you from that oppression. I will deliver you. I will rescue you. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. That's what the Bible says. So again, the Jewish Hebrew Bible says every time you take communion, you're reminding yourself of what God did for the Israelites, where he said, I will rescue you. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. It's like a Holy Ghost stare down. You're facing some crisis. You take communion. You don't even need to wait to get here, but you take some communion and you literally start to begin to decree, God, you are rescuing me. You are delivering me. God, you are redeeming things that were lost. Come on. God, you will rescue me. You said it in your word. You're redeeming. You're delivering. God, and I thank you to do that over and over again. Why? Because he's real and it works. Okay. Because when the thief has been caught, he has to return sevenfold. Why? Because who are you? I am the daughter of a living God. Woo! Anyways, okay. Sweating. Anybody else sweating? Just sweating up here. Okay, so you go 6, verse 9. So the conversation keeps going. And Moses says to the children of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of lack of spirit. And because of the hard labor, regardless, God says to Moses, keep going. Keep walking, keep going, because your deliverance is probably attached to somebody else's deliverance. I love what I did. I love that I launched a movement in the nation for young people. Why? Because it hasn't become about me. It's become about a guy named Vashon, who when he was young, the doctors told him that he would never fulfill his dream of becoming a rap artist or an actor. He said, but at 17 years of age, he got saved, and he said everything changed. The doctors re-diagnosed me and said there was nothing wrong, and in a crowd of 300 kids at a Christian school, he said, so I'm here to tell you today that with God, nothing is impossible. I just finished college for acting, and I put out 2 albums. So the conversation continues. We go to Exodus 6, verse 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, come in. And again, the Jewish Hebrew footnote says, when he gives a tough assignment, he prepares the way and he goes in before you. He prepares the way. He goes in before you. And if you keep reading, and this is kind of where I'll end, is Exodus 7, verse 1. It is the God inside of Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet. And it was the God in Moses. It was Christ in you, the hope of glory. More than what you can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power at work within you. If you're not putting anything in, nothing's going to come out. But if you're putting it in and putting it in and putting the word in and putting the worship in, it's going to cause atmospheres to shift. I don't know is the worship team? Okay. Causes atmospheres to shift, which means everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is brought low. Why? Because the son or the daughter showed up. And again, I want to kind of paint a picture for you. Again, I lead a movement called I Am Compelled. We go into schools, and I said to Pastor Ryan, I said, I really feel called. Like, I really feel God is asking us to go to Edmonton. And our admin person said, no, there's no money. You can't go. And I said, no, I really feel it in my heart. I really feel we're supposed to go. And he's like, no money. Don't go. Suicide mission. I said, no, I really feel we're supposed to go. And so I said, okay, God, if we're supposed to go, that you would set up those schools before September so that when we get there, there would be a week long of tours. And so at the end of June, we had 2 schools booked. Only two. Not enough to take a team to Edmonton. By the time the entire team was on the plane hitting the ground in Edmonton, we had 13 shows lined up. God's like, where's your faith? Where's your faith? So it gets even better. So we show up, and I said to Pastor Ryan, I said, we're going to be on this one reserve. And I said to him, have you heard of this reserve before? And he said, don't go there. Don't go there. Dangerous. And I said, no, I really feel we're supposed to go. He said, okay, may the Lord be with you. And I said, and also with you. So we went. I love the body of Christ. I love the different expressions. I love who God is. I love that Catholics are getting saved, set on fire. I love that Baptists are encountering the Lord. I love it all. So there's no condemnation here. I love the bride. I give my life for the bride right now. And Pastor, so we ended up going to the worst reserve in all of Canada. We show up in the school, and everybody, the teaching staff, the principals, were hostile to who we were. And I said, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? He said, it's all good. He said, I'm going to show you my ability, that nothing is impossible. And I said, okay, God, but they're really giving us some cut eye. And he said, sometimes my assignment has painful aspects, but I want you to trust me in this moment. And I said, okay. And we started setting up, and things got worse. And God said, no, this is the promise. I sent you here to deliver, to redeem, rescue, and restore. Watch who I am. I'm like, okay. Our team began to do the theater show that we're involved with that talks about the history of Canadian heritage and the great men and women who've gone before us and the baton being passed through the ages, landing in their hands. And I remember at one point I said to my tech girl, did you see that? And she said, yep. It's like a wave of Holy Spirit came onto the reserve and hovered over the students. And I said, oh my gosh, what's going on? At the end of the show, at the end of the presentation, we challenged the student body. What's one thing you learned? What's one thing you're compelled to do to pick up that baton of history and do good deeds? And so 7 grade 5 girls came to the front. Grade 5 girls, you know. Hi. And I, you know, we asked them, what are you girls thinking? Like, what are you compelled to do? And they said, we want to sell cookies at our church, or sorry, not at church. We want to sell cookies at our school to raise money to fix the windows that were smashed in by vandals. And I said, oh, okay. So I turned to the 300 students on the reserve who were poor. And I said, how many of you can bring in 50 cents or a dollar to support this bake sale? All of them put their hand up. Something, I wanted to say magical, but it wasn't magical. Something Holy Ghost happened in that moment where God was recalibrating the hearts of students. And I said, let's get your windows fixed. The principal came up to us afterward and she was crying. She said, my son's an actor. Can he travel with you? It was a redemption moment. Why? Because the son or the daughter showed up and said, God, you're either the greatest truth or you're the biggest lie. And in all of my experiences, I have never looked back and said, man, God, you suck. No, in all of my experiences, God said, come on, baby girl, come on, come on. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll walk on water. And every time he showed up, assignment, what is God giving you? What is God saying to you? What is God doing in your heart? What is he doing in your life? What are you asking him for? What are you believing him for? I said it's a year of restoration and breakthrough and innovation and evangelism. I want it all. I want a legacy. I was like, Lord, I'll take it all. I just wanted everything that you have for me, God. I want it. So what I want to do, and Pastor Becky and I talked about this, is I want to lay hands on impartation for those who want to go, who are, you know, you just want to be marked by God, and we'll invite the prayer team so the prayer team can come up too and help us, but you want to be marked by God. You want a fire in your gut. You know, Jesus said it, not me, be on fire or cold. You know, don't be lukewarm. So if there is even an ounce of you that's lukewarm, come to the front. So I'm going to invite you to stand. Even right now, because I believe, this is what I believe. I believe that God has purposed Grimsby. I believe that God has purposed this house. I believe that God has purposed this church, this body, to do greater works than what Jesus did. And again, when I was walking through, this is the only thing God said to me. This is the only thing. He said, Crystal, would you just believe? I can do that. Lord, I can do that. Would you just believe? So why don't you close your eyes? We're going to pray. And then I'm going to invite you to come. And I'm going to dare you to come. And then I'm going to push you to come. Because what if God shows up in a moment when you're at the altar? What if God shows up and rewires you and messes your life up for the gospel for the rest of your life? Your rhythmic heartbeat with God gets in alignment and then you're sent off. And I'm saying this isn't restricted to age category either. I keep seeing 70-year-olds take off in planes and cars and boats, and they're just going. Why? Because they're the radical ones who know God. I pray, I hear, I do. Okay, close your eyes. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for a power moment. God, we thank you that this is a moment in time. This is history in the making, God. This is our time to make history. Father, we thank you for the examples that have gone before us. Come on, church, let's just pray. Let's just call out on God. Just start thanking him. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, that you're messing my life up in a good way. Thank you, God, that you're giving me hope to believe for something that I can't even see, but you're going to restore my vision. God, I thank you that you're going to restore the joy of my salvation. God, I thank you that you're going to restore my family and my bloodline. God, I thank you that my unsaved relatives are coming to know the Lord. Why? Because if I can't get to them, Jesus himself will show up. Father, I thank you that our cries reach heaven. And every time our cries reach heaven, God, you hear and you raise up a deliverer. You raise up a breakthrough moment. You raise up restoration. And so, Father, we just thank you for that. So again, I'm going to challenge you. You got 30 seconds to pray like your life depended on it. You've got 30 seconds. One of our team members, she said to us, she just went to Morocco, to the Morocco House of Prayer. She said, Crystal, she said, the fire of the gospel is spreading faster than anything because... She said, the fire of the gospel is spreading faster than anything because people are willing to say, God, you can have it all. And she said, Crystal, think of the most on-fire church you can think of in North America. She said, it's dead compared to what God's doing in Morocco. So let's just shake ourselves up. Want you to, again, 30 seconds, you're going to pray like your life depended on it. If you pray in your holy language, pray. Close your eyes and pray. Close your eyes and pray. Close your eyes and pray. Woo, Father, I thank you that we are living in the greatest time period in the history of the church. And God, my life will be marked with the gospel and I will be a part of it. Come on, church. Church, come on, let's pray. Woo. God, what if this is the day everything changes? God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. God, change my heart. God, get my heart on rhythmic beat with you. God, I'm sick and tired of living a complacent life. Set me ablaze. God, I want you. Maybe that's your prayer. God, I want you. Break me out of my pride, Lord. Break me out of my unbelief, God. I will not be robbed for what God has for me. I will not be robbed. And when the thief has been found, he has to return sevenfold. Woo! Okay. Okay, so everybody, dare you to come. Come to the front. Come to the front. Come to the front. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Okay, and you can go and get your kids. Bring them back. We're going to lay hands on them. Come on, this is a fiery church. This is a hopeful church. Why? Not me. Christ that lives in me. Come on, Phil, move quickly. Move quickly and just start calling on God. Woo! Just start calling on God.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.